Welcome to the Banking on Business podcast presented by Horicon Bank. Banking on Business is aimed at helping entrepreneurs grow their business with practical strategies you can start using today. We are all about engaging our local business community and connecting with other small businesses to raise each other up. Hosted by yours truly, Grace Bruins, marketing officer at Horicon Bank, turned podcaster, at least for the next 20 minutes. Welcome to the Banking on Business podcast presented by Horicon Bank. Today, we are talking to Lori Winters, the executive director and CEO at the Museum of Wisconsin Art in West Bend. And under your leadership, Lori, the Museum of Wisconsin Art, or MOA, as you guys call it, they launched and rebranded their institution, created a garden campus, and opened a satellite location in downtown Milwaukee. So welcome, Lori. I'm glad you're here.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, you have been busy, so I'm excited to get into that part of your story and everything that you've done with MOA. But before we do, let's let our listeners get to know you a little bit better with a rapid-fire intro to the expert. This is our rapid-fire intro to the expert. I fire off the questions, and you answer as quickly as you can. Are you ready to play?
No. No. But go. But, you know,
okay, I can't wait.
You know, I'll rise to the challenge. I hope.
I'm sure you will. Lori, where are you from?
I am from Toledo, Ohio.
And
originally.
Originally.
Yes. Yeah. Born in Toledo, Ohio. And in the state of Wisconsin, I live in Milwaukee.
Very nice. And what do you love about MOA?
I love that we are a different kind of museum. We really try hard. And that's part of our branding. It's part of our identity, who we are. So many museums in the 21st century have, an attitude of elitism. And we really work hard to eliminate that from our program. We want to be the museum for everybody, every community across the state. And the fact that we are that kind of institution is also kind of unusual. There are very few museums in the United States that are so-called regional museums, that they serve a regional community. And I just feel that's very important. In my prior life, I had been the director of exhibitions and publications of Milwaukee Art Museum. And I really focused on European art, bringing great art to the state. And so this is just the other kind of, it's the other side of the coin. Mm-hmm. It's finding great art where you live.
That's awesome. And that's what we're going to get into, I think, even more with our interview. I'm excited about that. What is your favorite exhibit at the museum right now?
Well, let me cheat a little bit and say it's one that's coming up.
Ooh.
It'll be opening in mid-April at our downtown Milwaukee satellite, which is in the, it's MOA DTN in the St. Kate Hotel. It's on the lobby floor. And we will be opening an exhibition on comics, Wisconsin comics, who have been asked to produce new work for the Republican National Convention,
oh,
the RNC.
Cool.
So it's called Powlitical, P-O-W, Powlitical, from Ripon to the RNC. It'll feature about 45 works by 19 artists, and it is a bipartisan approach to humor in today's politics. So I'm really excited about that, and I'm actually curating that personally with a colleague, and I just think it's going to be a great show, and it'll make you laugh.
Oh, I bet it will. And so timely, right? Like, how interesting.
Absolutely.
Can't wait for that. What's the best piece of advice that you've ever received?
Oh, gosh. I knew you'd have tough questions.
Coming out of the gate with them, Lori.
Probably it was some writing advice, maybe 20 years ago, which was, if you like it too much, you know, if you like a sentence or a structure too much, it's probably not right and you should rethink it. And every time, you know, whenever I write now, I think, you know, am I too enamored of that phrase or turn of phrase where the turn of phrase becomes more important than clarity?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the distinction. So clarity in writing. And it was just such a practical thing. And I've been applying it ever since.
Mm-hmm. That's great advice, because sometimes you do get so tied. I'm sure as an artist too, you get so tied to a piece of work. You're like, I can't change that.
Yeah.
But if you're losing your communication in it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, this is an easy one. All right.
Okay.
So since we're coming up on Easter, what's your favorite Easter candy?
I'm going to say anything dark chocolate, you know, anything like with a 75 to 85%, dark chocolate rating. Like, yeah. Okay. I'll eat it.
All right. Fair enough. Does it need to be filled or just dark chocolate itself? Is it not?
Oh, if you can fill it with, you know, something like an, you know, a marzipan, well, that would be fantastic.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. I love that. All right. So that brings us to our marketing minute, where we are going to talk about art and advertisements. So now artwork is typically a very major part of any marketing campaign, but the Swedish company Oatly, which is an alternative to dairy products, put their own twist on the classic advertising campaign and traditional artwork. So in what Oatly actually called their anti-marketing campaign, they used street art and very self-aware copy to create murals that would say things like, "We made this mural instead of an Instagram post." And even, "We made this ad look like street art, so you would like it better than if it was just an ad," right? It's very self-aware. So these are just a few examples of how Oatly managed to insert humor, make their brand stand out, and even make their audience think about issues like social media obsession, right? So for our listeners, I think there's a couple lessons here. First, we are all looking for ways to stand out. So why are we all doing the same thing, chasing after the same channels? Maybe there's another way to do that. Maybe there's another spot or a less traditional medium to be advertising in. And second, consider a less traditional message. Give your brand a voice and a personality that's very true to who you are. So that leads us into our discussion today about Moa's Story, which I think is a brand that has a very clear brand message, which you've talked about a little bit already, to really showcase and celebrate artists with deep connections to our state here in Wisconsin. So Lori, why don't you tell us what brought you to Moa back in 2012 when you started there?
Good question. I had been with the Moa Garrett Museum for about 16 or 17 years, had done a lot of major exhibitions and led the department on exhibitions. It was very exciting. I say this loving the state that I live in, but there was a time when I flew over the state of Wisconsin on my way to somewhere else, because that was what I did. You know, today I'm not flying to, you know, Paris and London, but I'm going to, you know, Waupaca and La Crosse and Rhinelander, places that are near and dear. And so it's it's a completely different thing. So long story short, you know, I had been thinking about becoming a museum director for a while. Mm. I decided when I was working at the Moa Garrett Museum to start an MBA to kind of move in that direction, which I did and really enjoyed, and, you know, kind of learning the business side of museums. Mm. I felt it was really important. And on a fluke, I was invited to interview to become a director of this new museum that was going to open in West Bend, a new facility for a museum that had been around for a while. And I just felt that I could bring something to the table. I kind of thought differently.
Yeah.
And thought in kind of unconventional ways about how one could present and think about art. And that prompted me to take the job. So, you know, 11 years later, we are still growing and excited and doing interesting things. And we still have a lot to, I would say, we still have a lot to accomplish. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's what prompted me. The idea of coming in and rebranding an institution, thinking about it differently, helping others think about it differently, was just a challenge that I felt was really important. And I thought we could put the museum on the map, and I think we have. In the year I joined the museum, which was in November of 2012, the museum had 2,900 visitors. Last year, we had over 250,000. So in 11 years, we've had just the steady incremental growth and participation. We've started our satellite in Milwaukee. We actually have two satellites in Milwaukee, and we also show work in Madison. And so through those different venues throughout the state, we're really reaching a broad group of people, and people will have the experience of saying, I saw a show at the St. Kate, so I decided to come to West Bend. And that happens all the time. And that's very exciting. We love that cross promotion and different ways of thinking about it. And each venue has a kind of targeted audience.
Sure.
And so I think in the future we definitely like this idea of just growing throughout the state and, you know, finding a MOA in your own backyard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that. MOA in your own backyard. And MOA, so you were saying, you know, when you were brought on, this idea of having a new facility that was already being planned out, right?
The facility was under construction when I was hired.
Okay. Yeah. But the current facility that you're in, that's not where the museum started. Where did it start?
It started in 1961. I have to tell you who it was founded by. So the museum was actually founded by a woman named Melitta Hedvig Suderbeck. Love the name. And the fact that it was founded by a woman is extraordinary. Mm-hmm. Museums in the 19th, 20th century were always founded by men. There are like four or five exceptions across the U.S. That's
wow.
it. So the fact that this woman started a museum is extraordinary, even more extraordinary in that she was 72 years old when she did it.
72.
Yeah, no, she gives us all hope. So, yes, no such thing as retirement. Anyway, so 72 years old, she was the niece of an artist named Carl Van Maar. She collected her uncle's work diligently with great commitment. She had a collection and paintings, drawings, prints, you name it. Mm. And she just decided she was going to make a gift to the community of West Bend, the small city of West Bend. And she just felt that it could be a hub for community. It could provide arts and culture for local kids. Mm-hmm. Really no greater aspiration than to serve the local community. In the 60 years that have intervened, she left a great legacy and a very clear mission about, you know, sort of growing the institution with commitment and really embracing it as an educational center and allowing people to enjoy the arts and culture. And that became the foundation of everything we do today. And it was important. And I love the story that it was founded by a woman. I mean, what a kind of heroine for arts and culture in the state.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it sounds like you guys are really living out that legacy that she started with, like you just said, having a MOA in your backyard, really wanting to make this accessible
Absolutely.
And understandable and available in so many ways to West Bend. But clearly, with your attendance numbers, you guys are reaching far outside of that.
We are. West Bend is a community of 32,000. And it was debated at the time, sort of before I joined the institution. It was before I joined the institution, but they thought about moving the museum to a different location.
Okay.
Perhaps Milwaukee, Port Washington, you know, another location. They decided that as many smaller towns in the latter part of the 20th century, West Bend had suffered a loss in industry, business, and the board and the former director at that time felt very strongly that MOA could be a catalyst. It could be like the Great Museum in Bilbao, Spain, mm-hmm. which is a catalyst for economic development. And in fact, that's what has happened. The town, the downtown of West Bend has become a kind of vibrant center. It's growing. There are apartment buildings. Two new hotels have gone in just over the last 5 or 6 years. It has become a kind of vibrant center with lots of great restaurants and shops and businesses. And one of the cool things that we did as an institution was to partner with the downtown community and shops. So we have discounts and incentives. So if you come to the museum, you can take your member card and get a discount and drinks and appetizers at one of the local restaurants.
That's a great
idea. So we have this kind of synergy back and forth, which has been terrific. And it really has, and discounts on hotels and that kind mm-hmm. of thing, all of which you can find on our website. But it has helped the downtown. It is really going through an economic revitalization thanks to the museum, mm-hmm. thanks to this idea that arts and culture can build community. Mm-hmm. And it has, much like Bilbao, Spain.
Did you feel like the business owners in downtown West Bend were really receptive to that idea, or they were open to finding ways to partner, or did you find that more of an uphill battle for you?
There was no battle. They were immediately partners from the very beginning. And one of the things that MOA did was not put a restaurant or cafe in its museum. That was intentional because we wanted to be able to drive people to the downtown restaurants, the coffee shops, and that has just worked beautifully. Mm-hmm. So people can come and enjoy their museum experience, and then they can plan a lunch at one of the local venues, and it works very well.
Mm-hmm. And the way that the facility is designed, you guys, you have bridges, right?
We do.
Between the museum and across the river to be able to go to those downtown businesses.
Yeah, people, especially, you know, when they're out of town, they often don't realize this, but it's the Milwaukee River. So the museum rests on the west bend of the Milwaukee River.
Classic.
Yeah, a fantastic venue. Beautiful all year long, really. And we worked with the city to add two bridges to facilitate that crossing onto and into Main Street, and it has worked really well. We also added a garden finished in 2019, an expansive garden on 4 acres that includes 750 quaking aspen trees and 1,200 white hydrangea. So it's a spectacular venue in late summer, early autumn.
Well, and you've just seen just so much growth around you. I mean, West Bend, absolutely, but really around your facility as well. There's, like you said, apartment buildings, and there's so much more happening. I remember going to the museum shortly after it opened. Our president was part of the board. And
still is.
He is. And I wouldn't say there was nothing there, but it does not look.
Oh, you can say that. That was nothing.
Yeah. It's so different today. So different, the amount of growth that you have seen in that time.
10 years. I mean, at the time, you know, when you're going through it, it seems slow and, you know, kind of lumbering and moving through time. But when you look back at what has happened, it really, it's been quite extraordinary. There was, I think one of the mayors of, roughly 10 years ago, shared a book with me published about West Bend. And it was published in 1929. And there was a statement, and there was a simple paragraph, and it described about, you know, the Milwaukee River being a resource in West Bend and how they should make more of it and how they someday hope to have bridges and clean up the river. That was in 1929.
Wow.
That just happened. Yes. In 2023, that finally happened. It's not complete, but pretty close.
Oh. So yeah, those changes that we talk about now, you know, in 2023, it could take, my math's bad, 90 some years to get there. But if we stay faithful to that and you find people who get behind that mission, the change feels slow. But man, when you get there, it is definitely worth it.
And the tourism has been phenomenal. We bringing in people to the community. We contribute roughly $3 million a year to the city of West Bend through tourism dollars. So we're excited about that. Those are people who, a lot of day trippers who come from Milwaukee, Madison, Sheboygan, you know, the Fond du Lac area.
Sure.
And, you know, sometimes they will spend the night, they'll have dinner, they fill up their tank before returning. And so that's a lot of money that's spent. And actually, 80% of our attendance is a day trip destination.
Okay.
So of those 250,000 plus visitors, 80% come from outside of the Washington County area. Our largest venue, our demographic area, is from Milwaukee, followed by Madison. Extraordinary number of visitors who are out of state. So we have, I think, something like 10% of our visitors come from out of state. So we have a lot of people traveling in the summer who visit the museum. And we actually have members who live in 49 of the 50 states. 49 of the 50 states hold a membership card to MOA, which is great.
That is great. What's the one state you're missing? I'm curious.
I think it's Oklahoma.
Oklahoma?
I know. We must know somebody who lives in Oklahoma. Come on. So.
Oh, that's fantastic. I think it shows that you guys really stay true to your mission, that this is really drawing people to you. And I think that that is something that really any business, nonprofit, for profit, can learn from, is staying true to that brand voice and who you are. And I know your brand really promises itself as a different kind of museum. So would you talk a little bit about how you stay true to that? What does that look like for MOA?
Well, one of the ways is through our membership program. Yeah. And you might be thinking, oh, you know, all museums have memberships. Yes. We have only membership. So a long time ago, I would see this kind of repetitive behavior in museums. There would be this ongoing conversation about, like, how do you get people to come back? How do you get them to come back? And you have to make it affordable. You have to engage people. So how do you do that? So when we open the doors at MOA, we, and back in 2013. We did something totally industry busting, museum industry busting, which is we did away with single day admission.
Oh.
And we did that intentionally because we want to make it easy for people to come back.
Okay.
So when you come into the museum for the first time, you pay $15 if you're one person, $25 if you're two, and $50 if you're a family of any size. We don't care whether you bring grandma and grandpa or the kids next door, you know, get in a bus and come to MoA, $50. So our philosophy was, first of all, make it affordable. Mm-hmm. So you have a membership at MoA for less than what most museums charge for a single day admission. And you can't come back on that single day admission. So our view is that people will become engaged with MoA. And if they know they can come back because they've already paid for an entire year, mm-hmm. and their kids can participate in Saturday classes that are completely free, or they can participate in our great festival that brings in over 20,000 people a year, Art and Chalk Fest, mm-hmm. or they can attend exhibition openings and meet artists, or they can shop in our gift shop. And they've only have to pay once. So for us, that philosophy has been kind of groundbreaking. It also allows us to engage with people. So when they become a member, hopefully we have their email address, their contact information. So we're doing one-to-one marketing. Mm-hmm. We spend very little money on blanket marketing. It really is. We market to the people who have already expressed an interest in us, and okay. we retain that. So we have a really high retention rate because people learn that there are all these opportunities through our engagement, through email blasts, through newsletters, through invitations. And if they want to upgrade to other levels of opportunities, they can do that. But we make it really simple. I remember saying on the day that we opened, no single parent should ever have to reach in their wallet more than once a year to come to the museum. No one should ever have to wonder, can my kids afford to have an art and culture experience? So, we've debated, as you know, everyone did through the pandemic, whether we too should be part of the inflationary increase and increase our cost. And we said no, because we want to be absolutely affordable. Hmm. And it is a philosophy that has worked really well for us, as you can see.
Absolutely. Does a lot of your funding then come from memberships, or is it outside, you know, businesses are supporting you? What does that look like?
You know, most of our funding actually comes through, well, a significant portion is definitely membership, but I would say the largest segment of our support is actually individual giving, foundations, mm-hmm. corporations, and okay. Very little federal or state funding. Mm-hmm. And so somehow we've managed to grow. I think people, they see what we're trying to do. They see we're trying to fill this gap. As more and more schools cut their programs in arts and culture, they see that MoA's trying to fill that gap. And they also see that our education program, led by great people, is really working hard to partner with grade schools, high schools, and make it possible for kids to visit the museum.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you and I were talking before we began recording today that Wisconsin is 50th, right, in the nation for public arts funding.
What we do is a challenge every year because, yes, you are absolutely right. State and federal funding, we rank 50th in the United States for funding. We have a great philanthropic pool of private individuals, corporations that are making this happen for us. We managed to fill that huge gap. But even that is not without its challenges, because it has led to an extraordinarily competitive and a competitive atmosphere in the nonprofit world. Mm-hmm. And as every institution just struggles to make their annual operating goal. And it is, it's a challenge. So we've been very fortunate to make our operating budget each year. But the mentality is to cut and to find individuals who are willing to fill that gap, rather than understanding that people going to museums means tourism dollars. Mm-hmm. You know, people going to museum means art and culture and a creative community and a really kind of creative industry. People who go into the fields like computer technology and graphic design. fashion design, photography, you know, other things than just working on a canvas. You know, mm-hmm. it is the, in every industry, you have, you know, those people who are designing the look and feel of an object that will be sold on the open market. And that all comes from a mindset of embracing the arts. Mm-hmm. And so I think as a state, we definitely need to do a better job of explaining the significance of arts and culture, how it works, and how it could financially, economically benefit all segments of the community and the state. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of our mission now.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's like you mentioned before, West Bend has seen so much growth, and there are these tourism dollars coming in, which is a very quantifiable way to see the benefit of having the museum in the community. But there's so much more that you're doing to invest into the youth of our communities, into the youth of our state, because these youth then go on to take those positions, to become business owners, to grow. And that's really important too. You were saying, you know, it's not just about investing in a museum. It's about investing in families, right?
It's about investing in families and, you know, giving kids opportunities who wouldn't otherwise have them, like teen programs. We have a phenomenal teen program at MOA, and I'm just so proud of the work that they do. And it's, you know, you're working with high school kids that come from, you know, all of, you know, southeastern Wisconsin. And it was a kind of shock to me that there were kids who live 45 minutes from downtown Milwaukee who are high school age, who had never in their lifetime been to Milwaukee. I know your eyes just kind of flew open.
Did.
It's true. And you know, so it's about, you know, introducing people to art, but it's also giving them experiences that they've never had before. It's about introducing them to, you know, the breadth and width that is this, you know, so great state of Wisconsin, and making them aware of opportunities. Mm-hmm. And we also talked earlier about my own experience as a kid who grew up in rural Ohio. I was very fortunate as a fifth grader to be on a yellow bus that went to a museum, the Toledo Museum of Art. Great museum. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I am a museum director today because of that experience. I so vividly remember the docent who talked about a painting by Cézanne, and just that experience has stayed with me. I remember it completely, like every minute of it. Mm-hmm. And just being able to be introduced to other worlds, to new horizons, to places you haven't experienced, that comes through art.
That is a big mission you guys are accomplishing.
It is.
Well, you are accomplishing it well. So what is next for MOA?
This year, we have a great slate of exhibitions. We have the political comic show that will be opening soon. We have the Wisconsin Biennial, which is on view now in West Bend. So I recommend people see that because it's, you know, 57 works by, I think, 54 artists from across the state. It's a competition. So it's a juried exhibition, and it just kind of shows the best and greatest of Wisconsin. So very excited about that. Later in the summer, we're going to be doing an exhibition of Ho-Chunk baskets, woven baskets from, it's like 200 years of baskets, roughly 200 baskets in the show. And it's the first exhibition ever that is, in some ways, a kind of act of preservation. It's the first exhibition ever on this topic, and it tells the story from the 1830s to the present day. It will identify some of the makers for the very first time and tells the story of how those baskets were made and used and how they became in themselves a kind of much coveted and collected tourist item in the 1940s and 50s as the Ho-Chunk history is long and fraught with tragedy. And the fact that these baskets have survived to tell this story today, mm-hmm. we're really excited about it because it's an important act of preservation of the Ho-Chunk culture.
Wow. Wow. So a lot of exciting things coming up.
Really.
Be great. All right, Lori, here's where we're going to get a little inspirational for our listeners. As you know, Horicon Bank is the natural choice for banking. And that's not just a tagline, it's a commitment to being environmentally friendly and supporting environmental causes. So in that spirit, I'm going to give you an interesting animal fact, and I would like you to turn it into a piece of inspirational advice.
I'm so terrible. I just want to say that up front.
All right. Well, it's kind of funny. I chose this fact much earlier, but it fits so well with your story about the museum and the founder. So here's my fact. Adult elephants form matriarchal societies, typically led by the eldest female elephant of the herd.
Good for her.
Right. So they actually choose like the path that they're going to go. And they, I was also reading that they set the pace. So they always walk to the pace of the slowest member so that no one is left behind.
That's the story.
That's the story.
I think it's great. I'd never heard that before. By the way, where do you get these?
Oh, Google is fantastic. Really? Oh, yeah. Yeah. And we're partners with the zoo here as well. And so I like to look at their website and see if I find anything good.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know where to begin. But you've already made the connection between, you know, our founding mother. By the way, we refer to the museum in West Bend as the mothership. So somehow that seems fitting. So.
That does seem fitting.
Yeah. You've captured it perfectly. I think, you know, our founding history is, you know, it was unconventional from the beginning. The fact that we were founded by a woman who was 72, that's really important. And I think it is really important for us to stick true, to be true to our mission and to follow our path. And, you know, maybe there's something, okay, so I'm making a connection now. So I think maybe there is something about, you know, being a little bit slower and, but sticking to your path and not being drawn in by sort of all of the flashy things that happen around you. And I guess, you know, another little tidbit about me is, you know what, while I read a lot of books and I take inspiration from non-museum organizations, business, mm-hmm. you know, I'm always looking to other businesses for ideas. And I do think MOA is a business. It's not just a nonprofit. It is a business and we function just like any other business. But I do think it is important to be true to yourself, be true to your mission. And as a consequence, I almost never look at other museum websites or literature that they might put out. I don't want to be distracted by it. Mm-hmm. I feel like museums have this way of, and have had for the last 50 years, kind of way of approaching things. So for me, I always like to have a kind of fresh perspective on everything we do. So taking inspiration from beyond my own industry.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that really shows true in the way that you approach memberships, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's huge. And I can imagine, especially since I work in banking and it's really easy to find competitors to either model after or steal things from or whatever that is, it's so easy to get caught up in the latest and greatest of what someone else is doing. And when that doesn't feel genuine to your organization, you feel it as an employee. Your members would feel that, right? Mm-hmm. Customers feel that. So it is really important to stay true to that mission, that brand. This is who we are.
This is who we are. Mm-hmm. Find your own way and think for yourself. I remember when I became the director of the museum and would have weekly meetings with our senior staff. And inevitably, very early on, you know, people would say to me, well, this museum does this. Maybe we should think about it. Or, you know, what if we tried this museum because they're in a similar market to what we're doing? And my response was always the same, like, you know, stop looking at other museums and ask yourself, what would it look like? I know this sounds crazy, but it worked because I think it unleashed the potential for creativity. My question was always the same. Every time I would hear that would be, what would it look like if we did just the opposite? No one says that to me anymore, which is actually really good. I'm so happy about that.
Yeah. That's building that culture too, I think, mindset. Of okay, that's we're not going to look over there. We're not going to. What if we did the opposite? And you really have to instill that in your team to mm-hmm. be able to continue to think that way. That's awesome advice. Well, Lori, I am glad that you came on today. I'm glad you were able to find time. I know that you are busy and you've got a lot going on, but I love being able to shine a light on what MOA is doing, what you guys are doing for the West Bend community, for the state. And it's just been a lot of fun to interview you today.
Well, thank you. It's been the same here. I'm glad I could be here. Glad I could be part of this.
Thank you. Thanks for tuning in. To stay in the loop on all things banking on business related, visit horiconbank.com/bankingonbusiness and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.